Therefore, take up the armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Whereas, my dear friends in Christ, from today's epistle, in the 1500s, there was a priest in Holland named Father Andreas Wolters. And Wouters, by all accounts, was a very sinful priest. He had fallen from grace not long after his own ordination and had committed many, many sins. He rarely said Mass. He oftentimes skipped his divine office. He was known throughout town as a drunkard. And unfortunately, he had fallen from his vow of celibacy and was known to be a womanizer. In fact, even had several children from multiple women. And because of this, Father Wouters was disgraced by the church and suspended from performing all of his priestly duties until he amended his life. However, in 1572, there was a group of Calvinist Dutch pirates known as sea beggars, and they came to Holland and they captured the town of Gorkum, where this Father Wouters was, and started to round up all of the priests. Now, Father Wouters, because of the fact that he had been suspended and shamed in this way, could have very easily snuck off at that time and hid and then lived a life of relative safety, because these pirates didn't really have all that much interest in some unfaithful priest. However, that was not what he chose to do. At this time, God's grace moved in Father's heart, and he accepted that grace and put it to good use. And he voluntarily accompanied his brother priests into captivity with these band of pirates. And almost immediately upon being captured, the barbaric sea beggars began to mercilessly torture the captives in order to make them give up their belief in just one point of faith. One point only, and that was the true presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. They tried every torture imaginable to make these men to crack, day after day after day. And for Father Wouters, in addition to his tortures, the sea beggars continually tried to humiliate him by mocking him for his sins during his life. But all along, he was unmoved. He kept strong in the faith all throughout these pains and humiliations. And finally, on July 9th, the pirates decided that they had had enough of torturing them and that they were going to hang all 19 of the priests that were there in their captivity. But they decided that with this poor Father Andreas Wouters, that they were going to, one last time, attempt to make him despair of God's mercy, to give him one last time to apostatize from the faith and to save his own life. And as they put the noose around his neck, they mocked him for his sins and mocked him, saying, "How could you possibly think that God's going to save you at this time?" And Father Wouters, his last words before he was hung in a barn along with his brother priests was, "Fornicator I was, heretic I never was." And with these words, he raced off and gained his palm of martyrdom. Father Wouters died that day protecting one article of the faith, the true presence. Yet sadly and conversely, there should have been 20 martyrs on that day. Yet there was one priest who, unlike Father Wouters, had been faithful his entire life. He had never given up on his vows. He always said his office devoutly, said his prayers. He always was faithful in Mass, all of these things. Yet when he had begun to be tortured, he broke and gave up the faith. He apostatized, and immediately upon doing so, was treated with great kindness by his captors. His wounds were nursed, and he was set free. And as it goes, it says that he enjoyed his wretched freedom for all of 24 hours before God struck him dead all of a sudden. With Father Wouters, we see this great importance to protect the faith in all of its purity, in its entirety. That is what our church is. It is a body of faith. There are countless examples throughout the history of the church of men and women who did just that, who defended the faith in its entirety, even through great sufferings, even if it meant their own lives, just to keep it from being sullied by even the smallest infraction against that body of doctrine of truth, those things that were laid down by Christ himself. Yet today we see Jorge Bergoglio, a.k.a. Francis, spit all over the graves of these great saints, these great martyrs for the faith, countless missionaries who gave up all their comforts to give up all their comforts and safety in order to travel far and wide and to promote the faith, to convert souls to Christ, to risk their own lives so that they may save others. And now Bergoglio says that proselytizing is solemn nonsense. We see thousands upon thousands of martyrs at the hands of the British for refusing to recognize the illegitimate wives of Henry VIII. And now Bergoglio has turned around and has said that he's making it a priority to find a way to allow divorce and remarriage inside the church. In fact, at the next synod of bishops, they are to tackle this very issue. For almost 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has always been the beacon of morality, the standard which everyone else in society has always held as that high point. So much so that as Adolf Hitler went into towns to invade them, he would always send scouts ahead into those towns. And their sole job going in there was to observe the Catholics in the town, to see how they operated. If they were very faithful and they were very strong in their morals, then he knew it would be very difficult to take over that city, to subvert the masses. Yet if those Catholics were not strong in their faith and gave in to great immoralities, then that city would fall very easily to the Nazis. And now, what are our beacons supposedly for the Catholic faith? We see the public figures that are Catholic, people like John Kerry or Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden and countless others who support grievous crimes like abortion and gay marriage, yet they have no hesitation in going up and receiving communion, and the priests and bishops have no hesitation in giving it to them. Ted Kennedy was not only a daily communicant, yet he also received a funeral mass at the hands of the Archbishop of Boston. And as these sins of abortion and unnatural unions cry to heaven thousands of times a day, impurity surrounds us everywhere we go. Bergoglio, on the other hand, says the two greatest evils which afflict our society today are the loneliness of the elderly and the unemployment of the youth. I know you've heard these things many times already, at least some of them anyways, and I don't need to continue on and on with the list of grievous offenses against the faith by this man. But the real question that has to come to us is, what can we do about it? We feel that we are oftentimes too few in number. We feel like the whole world is against us. So what can we do? Well, the answer today stares us right in the face. You see, today is the wonderful feast of Our Lady of Fatima, and she lets us know exactly what we can do to help our world, to help our church. Today is the day of the last of the apparitions. Today is the day which heaven decided was so great that thousands upon thousands of people saw the sun dance in the sky, and countless were converted to the faith upon seeing this. And with this, Our Lady gave us clear message on what to do. First off, it's obvious, the people of the world need to repent of their offenses against God. This is very clear to see. Yet so few do that, so how can we make it happen? Well, Mary says that so many souls go to hell because no one offers sacrifices for them. She says that we all, meaning the faithful, must offer sacrifices as often as possible in reparation for sin and for the conversion of sinners. And we don't need to look far and wide to find sacrifices. We don't have to look for ways to make ourselves uncomfortable in order to offer it up. We are presented with opportunities daily to give sacrifices to God. Our very daily duties in our lives, the work that we do, the housework that we do, the chores that we do, our schoolwork, whatever they may be, the things that we have to do in the day, we have the ability to offer up to God for these intentions. It's something that is an abundance for us every single time we turn around. We also have times when people are going to treat us poorly, or we're going to have some sort of humiliation come in our way. There's nothing we can do to avoid it, but we have a choice. Do we just complain about it, or do we offer it up as a sacrifice to God for reparation of sin and for the conversion of sinners? We have illnesses that come to us, or as often is the case here in Cincinnati, allergies, or any number of little ailments that might come our way, and they say that the best sacrifices we can give are the ones which God gives us himself. Yet how often we complain about them, and how few times we think of offering it up to God as a sacrifice. There are a number of additional devotions that happen here at the church. It's a sacrifice to come, to take time out of your day, and attend those if you're able to. Yet that sacrifice doesn't go unnoticed by God, and it is rewarded greatly for these intentions. And what greater sacrifice to offer than that of the Holy Mass? To have Masses said for reparation for sin, for the conversion of sinners. What greater thing can we do than offer God himself? And Our Lady, in addition to sacrifices, also asks for our prayers, and not just any prayer, but especially for the Holy Rosary. For this prayer is so powerful that Our Lady promises that one day, through the rosary and scapular, she will save the world. That is the power of the rosary. Why is that? Because it goes directly against everything that assails the world and assails the church today. It goes against what are truly the greatest evils in society, and that is heresy, apostasy, and unbelief. Mary's prayer, the rosary, which Bergoglio mocks as Pelagian, is the greatest weapon against the evils of the world today. Think about this today when you pick up your beads and feel that temptation to maybe just rush through the prayers to get them done and over with, to get them out of the way so you could continue on with whatever else you want to do in your day. Think about this tomorrow when your life returns to its normal busy schedule, and next thing you know, you realize it's late in the evening, you're tired, you don't necessarily feel like picking up your rosary and praying. Perhaps you just want to relax, perhaps you just want to sleep. And yet, you face this again, and you make that decision to fall on your knees and say your rosary. Think about this evening, when we have the opportunity to come and honor Our Lady of Fatima on her feast day by our public procession for the Holy Rosary, our public prayer for peace as Our Lady asks. Think about this when you decide whether or not you should come. Sacrifices and the rosary, together they will do so much good for God today. We must accept our marching orders from heaven and do the duties of a good soldier of Christ. We are all here today, not by our own accord. We're here because somebody else has prayed for us. Somebody else has sacrificed for our souls. We may or may not know who that person is, but somebody did. And now it's our turn. Now it's our turn to fight that good fight for souls, to fight that good fight for God, and to fight that good fight for His Holy Catholic Church. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.